Well, it's on tonight. We gave you a little tease last week, but it's reality now. Mutually Inclusive will debut tonight, 11 o'clock. Get your popcorn ready. Host Mariano Avila with the details. Mario, good morning. Mariano, good morning to you.
Good morning, Shelley.
Mario's the race car driver, right?
Yeah.
Well, it was so nice to get the scoop of what you had prepared for you, because this, obviously, as many shows, was a pre-taping experience, and now it's in the package and ready to air tonight. So I'm going to kind of have you do a review of what our viewers are in store for.
Absolutely. So the show, Mutually Inclusive, is basically a conversation between community leaders and community members. And this isn't like a dialogue, or how can I say it? It is a dialogue. It's not a debate show. We're not trying to pit people against one another, even if they have different views. What we're trying to do is find consensus around ways, or at least share resources and ways in which we can address a problem. In this particular case, the show is about sex trafficking. And so we had a great turnout. The people in the audience, it's an audience for this show. We not only do interviews, but the folks in the audience for the second half of the show, which is half an hour for that part, they are all experts in their field. So we had two people from the FBI. Okay. We had a sergeant, Sergeant Terry Dixon, from right here in Grand Rapids, Grand Rapids Police Department. We had Captain Jack Dextra from Holland Public Safety. Cool. We had folks from the different task forces around the state. Just a really great mix of people. And then our main guests, we had two types, because this is a very sensitive issue. We start the show and we tell you the stories of folks that have been the most affected by whatever we're addressing. So we had two trafficked victims in two different forms of trafficking. The first one, a woman who is now advocating. She's appointed by the governor to help advocate and get women out. And her name is Deborah Monroe. Okay. And so she tells us her story, which is really sad. It's she was 13 years old, had a really tough situation at home, decided to go and join the fair, and the Jackson Fair. And she thought that she would be a carny for the rest of her life. Mm-hmm. There, a very evil person, a man who is basically tricked her and befriended her in order to trick her and turn her into a prostitute. Mm-hmm. He was 19 at the time and she was 13. And so she spent the next 20 years of her life in prostitution, forced prostitution, because this was him taking all her money. She was enslaved. She couldn't leave. Her life was threatened. She was beaten. Just terrible, terrible stories. But she tells her story. And then we move to a different form of trafficking, which people may not realize. If a minor is coerced into doing pornography, that is also considered trafficking. And so there was a brave young lady who is still a minor. We hide her face and her name, and she tells us her story. And her case, very sad, it was her stepfather. And so we talk about these things, but in between we have interviews with the second interview, the young lady, her counselor at Wedgwood at the Manasseh Project, because they helped her. She spent 10 months there. And so they talk about what it takes to get someone out. The next person that we had is Senator Judy Emmons. She's a state senator who has been pushing legislation to protect minors and just people in general from human trafficking. Specifically, she's passionate about sex trafficking.
You, again, hosting this along with your WGVU team. How did you come to bring sex trafficking as your first subject on this debut?
That is a great question. Thanks for asking that one. Basically, when you hear about inclusion, we talk about exclusion. And the first thing that we did when we were trying to design this show was we said, okay, there are different forms of social power. Who's got power to leave people out? Who's got power to leave people in? And we thought, what's the oldest form? And thinking through it with our producer, Noel Stoikov, mm-hmm. it became clear that sexism was the oldest form of exclusion. As long as men have been physically more powerful, I guess, we've been lording it over women. And so as a man, I didn't feel comfortable in saying, oh, well, this is the worst form of exclusion. So I asked Noel, I said, you know, what would you consider the worst form of sexism? I was hoping she would say something like mansplaining or, you know.
Yeah.
But and she didn't.
No, she said sex trafficking, which is a tough, tough issue. Wage inequality is what I thought she was going to say, really. And anyway, so she said this, and we went with it. I said, okay, if this is what you think that the worst form, I can't think of anything worse. Let's go with it. And so we started to look for people who would tell their stories.
And the story will be told tonight, 11 o'clock on WGVU. I trust to WGVU.org to find out the proper link and more. And I know all of our local productions are on the webcast, so one could go back and rewatch, but seeing it live is certainly important. This will be a monthly occasion?
Yes, Mariano? Yes. And we already announced, well, you guys get a preview, actually.
Oh, okay.
So tonight we announced the next issue, which is the increased risk that poor minority children have for health hazards, things like asthma, lead, diabetes. And so we're going to explore some of these issues. You really do get a preview because we haven't done all of our research yet into finding which issues we want to focus on. But the general topic is increased health risk for children who are poor and minorities.
Yes. You used a live audience with this for the taping segment, yes?
Yeah, we did. And the reason that we used the live audience is we wanted to give a town hall, but not a generalized town hall where anybody can show up. We wanted to make sure that stakeholders were there. And so the platform that we're using, I guess, from the journalistic standpoint, is called civic journalism, in which you set the table for an issue, you tell the stories, you do the research, and then you bring all the stakeholders together and say, let's talk about this. In terms of doing it on TV, because this is not a common thing to do on TV, and especially regularly, there is a theory called theater of the oppressed, which does the same thing. They tell you a story, but in this case it's usually fiction, but it addresses a social issue. And then right at the point of climax, where then you get your denouement and you get to feel good about it, they cut it off and say, if you want to fix this problem, come up to the stage and replace one of the actors. Now, we can't do that on TV. So what we're going to do is bring in all these stakeholders and say, from your perspective, how do we address sex trafficking? How do we address this other issue? How do we address children who have increased risks of asthma? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're trying to do by inviting the audience members that we do. It's a smaller audience. It's between 40 and 60, depending on who we get. But, like I said, this time we got the FBI, we got senators, we got police departments, about four nonprofits. It was really, really good to have those folks. And it was an interactive conversation. People had a lot to say.
Yes. Obviously, you feel good about it. You look forward to being up at 11 o'clock, I would think, tonight and watching. Is this, as you go forth with this new TV debut, and I know we hear your reports on WGVU-FM as well, does this match your career aspirations? Are you doing what you want to be doing?
Well, nobody tells you that you're going to have your own show. I don't know. I mean, you've had one for a while, but this is the first show that I ever host. I didn't really come into this expecting to do this program. It kind of grew out of a vision of bringing community members to talk about issues and reporting on the issue. And we said, well, instead of doing two or three separate events, why don't we just bring it all into one? So this is a really welcome opportunity, and I'm trying to take it head on and to enjoy it as much as I can, which I do.
Yes. Well, tonight, 11 o'clock, what will you want your audience to take from this this visit with you and yours?
Well, in a sense, what we did is a TV version of a meet and greet. And so you will get to have the names of the people that matter in this conversation in our community. And that's the thing, a national thing. Yeah, you can't reach a national senator. You can't reach a national NGO that's in Ohio or whatever. But in this case, it's our own people in our own community telling us what resources are out there. And so you can look them up online and see how you can get involved, whether it is some program in law enforcement or you want to get involved with the campaigns or support Arbor Circle or Wedgwood, who are doing this incredible work of helping minors to stay away from sex trafficking. There, a lot of the community's resources are brought together for you by WGVU. So it's really like a virtual meet and greet.
Great. Well, thank you for what you do, Mariano, and I think I'll say goodbyes. And I want to end with a clip. I know we ended this our conversation last week, but we'll say our goodbyes, and then we'll end with a little over a minute clip that you mm-hmm. presented. So, again, one more time, details on what we see tonight.
Yes, Mutually Inclusive is our first show. It's on human trafficking, and it is on WGVU-TV at 11 p.m.
Mariano Avila, thank you very much. Take care.
I just turned 15. I am originally from Michigan. I have traveled a lot to Alabama, Florida, and North Carolina. I love horses. I love to draw, and I love to read and do photography. I just remember waking up at 3:15 in the morning to cops pulling me out of my bed and waking me up. They left my little brother in his room. They had my stepdad in handcuffs, pinned on the bed with their knees in his back. They were searching through the house. They found mason jars full of liquid marijuana oil and my stepdad's tattoo parlor in the garage. They found out that he gave me a tattoo, and they charged him with child abuse, sexual abuse, and child neglect, and a lot more. They found all his child pornography of me on his computer that he was taking since I was little. My mind's still trying to just believe that I'm free. I don't have to go through the sexual abuse anymore, the physical, the verbal. I'm in a safe home. I have an amazing family, and I go to school. I work my hardest. I have friends. After everything with my trauma happened, I realized that it can happen to anybody at any time, and that not many people know that there's somebody out there that know what they may have gone through or what it feels like.